Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and here we are on the air and in your ear and on Skype, but it's okay because I have this fancy new widescreen angle camera.
We're in your ear, and you are queer?
No.
Oh, I see. What a wonderful edition we've got so far.
Yeah, a few audio problems right off the bat, but who cares? Let's carry on. I hear a wrestling happened this week.
There was a wrestling event that happened. There was a Monday Night Raw. Should we start on the Monday Night Raw, or should we go to the...
Wherever the hell you want to go. Doesn't matter to me.
Monday Night Raw. What'd you think of Raw?
I thought it was a really good show. I enjoyed Raw quite a bit. Raw had a lot of stuff that, I mean, even if it has, when you're doing 3 hours, not everything's going to hit, right? But,
right.
Yeah, but when the big stuff that you're going to give a shit about hits, and like right. It did this week, like the, you know, Brock and Heyman and Punk being
Punk, yeah.
So damned awesome, you know? Surprisingly, I got to give RVD props. He may be a little less quick. A little less athletic, equally sloppy, but he can still do all the moves. He just doesn't do them quite at the same snap that he used to. But he can still do all the moves, and he's trying hard, and I got to give him he's looking much better than I figured. So he had a nice match with Jericho, and Orton and Fandango had a surprisingly strong match. I like the AJ Ziggler stuff. I like Brad Maddox. I think Brad Maddox is going to get over as a babyface. He's instinctively likable.
Yeah.
You know, when he's sitting there talking about, no, mama, I'll pick something up on the way home. Like, I don't know. He's just, it's funny, but it's not too much. And he's just likable.
What was his other joke that he told in the ring?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, but I think that was actually on the pay-per-view, not on the, or was that there? I can't remember.
I remember, but he's like, come on, that was a good one.
That was a good one, and I was like, oh, that was pretty good. But, yeah. So, I mean, I think he's going to get over that way. So, I mean, yeah, I. What else was the big stuff? Just the way the crowd reacted, obviously, to Daniel Bryan was great.
To me, more the way that the crowd reacted to everybody else.
Yeah, booed the hell out of Sheamus.
Yes.
Yeah.
This crowd knew what it wanted, and, you know, and it...
It didn't want the Brooklyn Brawler, surprisingly, but he was out there.
He was out there, but he didn't get... Did he get mentioned?
No.
No,
see, no it was so a rib, and it's because they're in Brooklyn.
It would have been a mad pop for the Brawler.
Actually, it might have been.
But, yeah, it's, you know... It was a good. It was definitely more hits than misses on Raw. It was the kickoff to the fest.
Yeah, it was the kickoff to the fest, and not bad ratings. And like I say, a pretty good show. I mean, can they sustain it? I don't know. I mean, do I still trust them to pull off Daniel Bryan versus John Cena as the main event? No, because Vince McMahon hasn't gotten involved in the storyline yet. And when he gets involved, I don't know what the hell is going to happen. I don't know what's going on. There's a few things that I didn't like. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Alberto Del Rio and Ziggler had another match. It was pretty good, but I don't know where Ziggler's or where ADR is going. I don't like that he's on the stage when Cena's picking his possible opponents because it places that title at a level that I just don't think is good for it, even though we know it's the lesser title already. But I think that was necessary.
I kind of giggled. I giggled at that because it's like, oh, yeah, even they know.
Yeah, well, everybody knows.
Who are they kidding?
Everybody knows. But it's, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't think that's good. I don't think the Shield was on the stage, were they?
I didn't see them.
Yeah.
But.
So that's good that they're the other ones not out there. But yeah, I mean, the Mark Henry segment also with the Shield was great.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked the Bray Wyatt.
It was awesome. Follow the Buzzards.
Yeah, show
title. The this week's show title.
Yeah, and I mean even when he was daring him to come in with the chair, right?
Yeah, all of it. It was he has that way of, I mean, he does seem insane when he's doing it. That way of, come on, like he's not afraid. He's smiling. He seems completely fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And it works. And then the promo afterwards, the only thing that they need to do is set the lighting properly. Like, you know, he's sitting there and the two of them are, the three of them basically are over R-Truth. And he says, "You're not the truth we seek." Great line, but if the arena was not quite as bright, if they set the mood a little bit better with the lighting, that would have been even more effective. But other than that, it's great.
Oh, yeah. It's, no, that was another great segment. So we've got kind of all building to, to SummerSlam. So it seems, obviously, we have Punk and
crowd reaction great to Cody when he came out and jumped Sandow after Sandow got pinned by Christian.
Christian,
who also pinned Fandango then on main event. So, I mean, it's like they're, okay, you had to job out to the world, to the all-stars, but you're also above these guys, right? So kind of establishing his place.
Right, exactly. And I think that, probably a little bit
the world title.
Yeah, in that area. I mean, you know, U.S. world title, whatever.
Now, is Randy Orton actually hurt or not? Because apparently in the SmackDown tapings, WWE.com said he had injured his clavicle bone, bruised it or something like that. And we didn't, and then he said it didn't. Don't listen to the websites. And then people pointed out, well, that's the WWE website. And he goes, well, listen to that one, but not the rest on Twitter, you know, and you're just like, Randy. So I don't know if it was storyline based or not. Is he actually hurt?
Yeah, I don't know.
I understand he was working 6 months where he wasn't doing hardly anything but an RKO.
Yeah, and if it's bruised, I mean, that's not as, I shouldn't say it's not a big deal, but it's, you know, it's a short-term recoverable injury.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because on SmackDown, he gets a clean pin with the RKO over Alberto Del Rio. So you would think that that's going to be the SummerSlam match. But I pictured the SummerSlam match being more, well, it won't be Jericho now because he's left.
Jericho's gone, so.
So, I mean, I don't know other than Christian, I don't know who else is out there. I think Christian would work real good in that position, though.
Yeah, that would make sense to me, is to build that up. I could do Christian there, and that'd be fine.
Oh, your dog's there.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going? How is your Willy?
Every podcast needs a little Willy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you're on. Because you have a little Willy. Have a little Willy. I don't have a little Willy.
No, Willy's a pretty damn big dog.
Yeah, he's like, I have an 80-pound Willy, 90-pound Willy.
Mm-hmm. Ah, this is fascinating for people.
It was. It really was. So, but the fest. I mean, you got you got Brock there. You got John Cena and Daniel Bryan. Right.
So far.
That we mean so far.
Like I say, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical because Vince McMahon hasn't played in the storyline yet. I'm skeptical that will happen, but we'll see.
You're skeptical that will happen.
I am.
No, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be a really shitty attempt to retread Austin and McMahon, where Vince doesn't like him, so that's supposed to make the fans cheer him more.
Oh, really? Is that where they're going?
Of course.
But
that's what Vince is thinking.
But they got Stephanie. They got Stephanie, but he really doesn't like him. He really doesn't see money in him. And they got Stephanie and Vince and Hunter there to counterbalance him anyway. So how can you even pull that off? I don't know. Who knows?
It's Vince. I mean, well, Hunter even, I mean, he's Vince. And that's exactly what it is, though. But
well, that's
irregardless, you've got those two. Of course it is. But you've got those two.
but no, that would make him the number one babyface of the company. He's not about to be that.
Well, I don't know. But
you got those two. You got Punk Lesnar, which you just can't wait to see how Punk takes on this huge guy who's got, you know, 100 pounds on him of muscle.
You know? Yeah.
That's the main event, obviously. It should go on last.
Which the Brock and Punk, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the main event, yeah.
Yeah, so you got that. You got whatever happens with the Usos and Henry and the Shield.
Usos, yeah. I guess that you could do that. I mean, that seems like a pretty low-level low-level match, but yeah, you could do it.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm saying you got whatever's going to happen there. I don't know if you'll get another dark match. I don't know if you'll get a six-man. I mean, as soon as I saw that Henry versus the Shield thing, that segment, my first instinct was gauntlet match. He goes out there, he beats Rollins, he beats Reigns, and then he loses to Ambrose.
Right.
You know? Like, that was my instinct. But, I mean, then they've also kept the Usos pretty strong, you know? So, and seem to be continuing that to some degree.
Right, and they got the fan vote on Raw 55%.
Yeah, well, look who they're against still. But, and you got, what else you got going on there? Who is it that Axel's going to defend against?
I don't know, Miz?
I don't know, is he? I don't know. I thought Miz and Ryback were going in a direction. Maybe, I don't know. I thought there was somebody else stepping up to Axel, actually.
Is there? Yeah, I didn't see who that.
On Raw or Smack. Well, I guess SmackDown was where it was Jericho, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was Jericho's last...
last appearance was against Axel, yeah.
Who knows? RVD go in there?
Could be. RVD's the other guy that could take on ADR, really, isn't he? He's probably he'd be a great choice. Depending, like I say, I mean, you don't have Orton pin Del Rio unless he's going to get a title shot. I mean, there's no sense of doing it.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
Well, we don't.
Yeah, but they do.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. So, to me, that doesn't really matter. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways you could go. The main two matches are set. So that's really again what.
Well, yeah, they already have the match that'll draw on Punk versus Lesnar. So they can do whatever.
Brian and Cena, those two matches are going to be what draws. And
yeah, but that's right. Punk versus Lesnar will be what draws, and no question about it. And
And Brian and Cena will draw.
Yeah, no, I know. They're the one great match that'll draw, that one main event. I agree.
Really, isn't there also Punk versus Brock?
Yeah, there is. Good point. And that's the one. You're right. That's the one that'll draw.
Right.
You're welcome.
Cena doesn't. Yeah. So.
Brian won't. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it really does. It is you.
It's, there's a title. It's, there's a title of your show.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bray Wyatt against Kane is another match, obviously.
Maybe.
Well, it seems logical, right?
Yeah, so you're saying it won't happen?
Well, what's it going to be then? Against, you know, who's the Wyatt family? The Wyatt family's going to have some presence.
Sure. They have pre-show matches.
The crowd reacted great to them. That helps them. They'll be on SummerSlam. Whether it'll be, again, a gauntlet match, it will be a part of a tag match, or it'll be one-on-one. It'll be Kane against them in some fashion. Will Undertaker be there? Unlikely. But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I really kind of break it down and I go, okay, that's not a bad SummerSlam card. You know, given whatever they're going to do. And, I mean, maybe they'll have Cody versus Damian Sandow for the briefcase. And, you know, we'll have Big E versus Dolph Ziggler. And, like I said, I thought that came across really well on TV, that segment, the breakup segment and Langston. And then I also like on SmackDown that they have another altercation afterwards in the backstage. AJ goes to kiss Langston and he pulls away from her.
Okay. So. Well, there you go. I mean, you've got Big E and Dolph too for the fest.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's shaping up. I like that. I hope Cody... The crowd reacted well to Cody as a baby face on Monday. Does he have to keep the mustache, though? Is the mustache over as a baby face?
Cody? Sure. Cody's mustache. Why not? I don't think it hurts him.
No?
No.
It's kind of like a goof, douche mustache is a thing.
Sure, but that's... that's where he's slotted, right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah. He's in the WWE. Everybody's a mid-card geek.
Well, that's largely true. That's so true. I was going to say that he may actually win that briefcase and challenge ADR. And then I realized that still means you're a mid-card geek.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a mid-card geek higher than the IC champion or the US champion.
I guess.
Yeah.
Barely.
Well, they are, but not by much. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, no, it's... like I say, they have a really good pay-per-view. They had a really strong Raw. They seem to be going the right direction. Most of the matches aren't getting me extremely excited, but they are interesting. And you are right. I mean, one of the things about, you know, the Bellas versus, or the Bellas is they could play into, obviously, the Cena and Bryan thing. I know that because they were interviewed on NFL Today this morning. I'm watching it at work. And, they were interviewed on there, and they brought it up to them, you know? Now, in real life, you two are dating these guys, and we understand that they're going to be facing each other and what's going to happen there. And they played it up a little bit, and that's obviously a question fed to the guy who could not have had less interest in asking these questions that have been fed to them. Like, you should have seen it. But and the Bellas were just awful. But that said, that's the reason. You're probably right about the Daniel Bryan and the Breeze and, you know, Bree and Nikki and John Cena all playing into it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, again, I had that was my thought, was with those two, and yeah, it seems like that's the case, so, yay.
You sound really excited, you know, considering we watched a good pay-per-view and a good Raw, you seem really, I don't know.
I mean, it was fine. It's, you know what, we've been through this before. They had a good Raw. Right?
Yeah.
They seem like they have something to do for SummerSlam. Yeah. Right? So, again, it's just a matter of... I just wait for them to fuck it up now.
Tell me, are you going to watch the Divas show?
Oh, yeah.
Every week?
Oh, I don't know, every week. I'll watch the first one.
I'd watch it maybe if it was a half hour, the first one. But an hour, I can't do it.
42 minutes. Whatever. You don't watch it live. You watch it on PVR and whatever. And yeah, it's...
I don't even know what channel it is airing on in Canada, though. Are you aware?
I don't even. Yeah, I assume we have that E Canada, right? So
yeah, but you know what? I don't think it's airing on that.
Yeah, so I have no idea. Maybe we don't get it, and I'm not going to go out of my way for it.
No, that's the thing, right?
So
I predict it'll do really well in ratings the first week, and then become an utter bomb. And be off the air after 1 year. I predict really shitty ratings for this thing.
Go off the air after what?
After 1 year. Like the latest Tough Enough.
Well, I was going to say, it's just set for like a one run.
Well, I mean, their hope is that it would be every year, right? But
I guess they would hope that. Just, well, why wouldn't they? Because that's more money, right?
Exactly. It's not going to happen. I predict the ratings are going to be below average. Even for a show of that type, that it's going to be an utter fail. I could be wrong, though. I mean, people could be intrigued to seeing the Bellas interact with their real-life boyfriends. I mean, that would be the as much as anything's real life there, that would be the draw.
Well, I guess. I mean, again, it's... I do just kind of sit back and look at it and say it's, you know, it's going to play into this storyline, so okay, well, maybe that'll give me a little bit. But all of the stuff that, if it is the kind of show that I think it is, said I'll watch the first one, and then I'll play it ear to ear. I won't set a series recording, as it were. I'll just record the first one, see. But I get this feeling that if it is going to be playing into the main event, or one of the main events, the Bryan, the title match at SummerSlam there, that we're going to see everything we need to see on 3-hour Raw, from this Total Divas show anyway. So we'll see the pertinent 10-minute clip of this Total Divas show anyway.
Yeah, that's
so,
probably true. You know, right.
I don't know that we'll need to necessarily... It's not destination television, because we're going to get a replay of what you need to see anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean... But we'll try it. We'll see what happens, right? I mean, what is it, July 28th? So it's a couple weeks away.
I'm looking forward to you telling me how it is.
Yeah. Woo. But I think that 3 hours is just too damn long, is what I you know.
That's why you're not as excited as you probably should be?
I mean, I looked at, you know, we just recapped all the good stuff, the Cody stuff and the Brock stuff and the Bray Wyatt stuff and the Shield and Mark Henry stuff and the crowd going nuts for, you know, for Daniel Bryan.
And Fandango.
Yeah, and those things just kind of got lost to me when it ended well, I thought, but after that, it just kind of, you know, washed all over me again.
Well, I mean, I'm right here off the top of my head, able to give you all the good segments and say what I liked. I mean, sure, so I mean that's a good thing. It's stuck more in my head than it often does.
But it's Thursday, and I woke up Tuesday and had to remember all that. You know, I had to go back and go, oh yeah, there was that, right? So
what do you mean? Like you said, didn't wake up Tuesday going, "Fuck, I'm excited for this."
Forgot about the Shield thing until you mentioned it too. And the Cody thing, actually. I remember the Brock thing, I remember the Daniel Bryan thing, and I remember the Bray Wyatt thing. That's really what I, going into this show.
But is that enough? Like, if you remember those things, you're like, yeah, that was great.
It should be. That's what I'm saying. But why? But that's an hour and a half show.
Yeah, which is the ideal length of a show.
It's not a three-hour show, is what I'm saying. So I think the rest of it just kind of got me to be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I am more excited about the Ultimate Warriors commercial for the video game.
Simply tremendous.
That is awesome.
Now, it doesn't look like he's going to end up, you're saying that he's the, you thought that makes him the early contender for the Hall of Fame and stuff. And hey, right. maybe if the reaction of the crowd to this is so big that they have to sit there going, you know what, we'd be stupid not to do it.
Have you been on Twitter lately?
Not so much, no. Why?
Okay, because there's a fellow on Twitter named Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Uh-huh.
And his tweet, and I quote, "I want to personally welcome Ultimate Warrior back to @WWE.
Yeah, so anyways. yeah, exactly. Yeah, anyways. But the thing is, the deal is with 2K Sports. The deal isn't with, it's with the developer of the video game. It's not with WWE. Vince McMahon agreed to put him in there. And but, I mean, he's not back, you know, dealing with Vince and one-on-one. And like, I don't know that we're going to see him in the Hall of Fame at this point. I think it's we can now, you know, pump the brakes on that a little bit. And
I didn't think anything different last week. I figured the deal was with 2K Sports the same way the deal with Randy Savage was for that video game was through the video game company and not through WWE. But I still think that he's still the doors are open to make him the odds on favorite, I still say.
Possibly. But either way, the commercial's tremendous. It's basically him walking around dressed like the Warrior. He's still in great shape. And he's walking around and beating and being all Warrior and it's a combination of Warrior and dork, and he's just snarling at people and hitting them for no reason and throwing them around the office.
That's the best part.
Yeah, it's just...
he hits them for no reason.
I know. And it's seriously, like, the best commercial. It's so much more entertaining than that 1-888 or 1-800 fella. Like, it's not even funny.
I don't even think I saw it. Somebody was choking or I don't even know what the hell was happening on this.
If somebody's choking, instead of giving them a Heimlich maneuver, he kicks them in the back and dislodges food or something like that.
Yeah, a bunch of horse shit anyway.
Pretty much.
Yeah, not even pretty much. Definitely much. Just trying to think as to what... Is there any other WWE news?
Let's see. Ric Flair's daughter made her debut.
Charlotte, yes.
Which isn't actually her real name, and they renamed her Charlotte?
Yes, yeah. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my PBR. I haven't watched it yet.
So there's that. Trying to think of what else is.
Anything else happen? I mean, it's...
You know what? It's pretty quiet outside. Obviously the video game. And what has occurred on Raw, the build towards WrestleMania. I mean, as far as...
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, sorry, the Fest. as the SummerSlam.
What's going to happen at the SummerSlam?
What is going to happen at the SummerSlam?
Some festing.
Mm-hmm. That was like me and your mom last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeasting?
Fisting, you said, didn't you?
Fasting.
Ah, no, that never happens around me.
That's true. That's true. You're pretty slow.
I love donuts.
Donuts.
Anyways. Anyway, outside of the video game and then what actually happened on Raw, as far as things that are occurring outside the ring, not an awful lot. You're right.
No, I'm thinking, I was just looking at...
We can say on SmackDown, we can talk about it a little bit more, that Vicky Guerrero, Booker T returned, and it looked like it was going to now come down to the Booker T or Teddy Long, who's going to be the general manager. Apparently, the live crowd didn't get that Teddy Long has been playing subtle heel and undercutting Booker T along the way, because he was apparently over as a babyface as much as Booker T. But then Vince McMahon comes out and announces, surprise, surprise, Vicky Guerrero is the new SmackDown general manager. Two questions for you. Number one, obviously, is that okay, or was she much better with Ryback? Because that's obviously not going to happen now. And Ryback's somebody else we haven't seen him set up for SummerSlam yet. So maybe we see Ryback versus Orton. Like, that's possible. Just because they both need something. Or Ryback, like I say, versus RVD. Something like that.
You say they need something. If I never see Ryback again, it might be too soon.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I agree with you on that. I didn't say we need something. I said they need something.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, so that's one thing. The other thing is, like I say, would she be better off with him?
I think so. I think a managerial thing. I mean, again, I personally am kind of done with these general managers and stuff.
Well, and that's the other question is, she's been there. She's done that. I mean,
that's why it's like, who cares, really?
Yeah. The other question is, what becomes of Booker T? He's not going to be in that role. He's not going to be wrestling. Was he put in the Hall of Fame? He was put in the Hall of Fame, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
He's not going to be wrestling then, really. He's not going to be a commentator.
What? Why not?
What, on main event?
Doesn't matter, on every show.
Well, yeah, you loved him. The fact is, they don't really kind of, their setup right now, have a spot that I can see him, but with JBL kind of being there, right?
Is JBL on SmackDown?
Who is SmackDown? Yeah, I watch it pretty much every week, and I cannot remember for the life of me. I think it is anyway. JBL and Cole.
So get rid of I mean, he only needs to do one. Get rid of King.
You know that's not going to happen.
I know. Well, then keep it the three man, and yeah, you can change up SmackDown, no problem.
I don't think that's going to happen either. I don't think we're going to see Booker T on. I don't know. I wonder if he's going to have some other role, if he's going to have a role on SmackDown, if he's going to have a different role in the company. That's all I'm asking you is not what you would do. I know what you do. You put him on commentary despite the fact that he sucked ass because you found his butchering of the English language hilarious.
Oh, it was awesome. what do they do? I mean,
yeah, what's happened to this guy now?
Cares. He's gone. He's just an ambassador. He's a Legends deal around every once in a while, drag him out. Guy. Whatever. He's retired. I mean, the fact that he come back at that Royal Rumble and got stuck on commentary and then went to be the GM, I mean, yeah, okay, that's great, but if he goes back home and doesn't do anything, that'll be great too. Go to the performance center. Train guys.
Now, would you have preferred though them to finish off the storyline with him and Teddy, or just him to be? If you had to choose between him, Teddy, and Vicky, I'd probably still choose him. It's still fresher if I have to have somebody in these roles.
Yeah, whatever. I don't. All three are equally as shitty to me.
Okay.
Because the role is shitty, and to finish out the storyline with him and Teddy, who gives a fuck?
You have a good point there. I hadn't thought of it that
way. How many buys is that? How many t-shirts does that sell? How many ads does it sell? How many tickets does it sell? None. So cares?
Yeah, good point. Good point. No, it's true. It's just filling TV time.
I would stick both of them in a white Hummer and have them drive away.
Okay. Would a Gold Dust be in it?
Carmen Electra actually would be driving it.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful.
Yes.
All right. Oh, okay, okay. No, it's Ford Bronco that Gold Dust would have been in.
That's true. That would be excellent in a Hollywood backlot brawl.
Yes. Yes. Let's just review that WrestleMania sometime. Top to bottom.
I guess on main event, the Wyatts attacked 3MB and Justin Gabriel.
Him too. Yeah, I know. Apparently, yeah. I don't know if that's just. I don't know. They're kind of getting a babyface reaction. I don't know if that's to further that, to turn 3MB, or just to establish that they'll take on anybody, which is probably what it is.
Don't hinder Jinder.
I love that Jinder Mahal was one of the guys that Cena called out and mentioned. Jinder and what's his name? Heath Slater.
Birthday boy, rapist.
Yeah. He's fucking money.
Yeah, he is. That's her name.
All right. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I think that's about it for TNA. Other than that, what is it, Mark Briscoe or Jay Briscoe? Then Mark Briscoe ended up back in ROH, right?
We say that. Yeah, Mark Briscoe and Jay is still selling the injury.
Yeah. So for their tag title thing, so I mean, obviously, it seems like they're not going to ROH or to WWE now.
Nope.
So I mean, we'll see how that plays out. But okay, so.
And they've got their first round matches in their title tournament with Jay being out. It's Adam Cole and Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal against Sanjay Dutt, that TNA feud.
Yeah, that's interesting.
ACH against Carl Anderson from Japan. Toronto, they've got there's an Adam Page, Silas Young qualifying match, and Tommaso Ciampa will fight them. You got Mike Bennett against BJ Whitmer. Steen against Kendrick.
Yes, interesting too. Yeah.
Michael Elgin against Paul London.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Taven against Roderick Strong. So
I'm sorry, who against Roderick Strong?
Matt Taven.
Matt Taven, not Matt Hardy. Okay. Matt Hardy's not in this tournament. Steen seems like the favorite. I can't see who else would end up.
Maybe Jay Lethal, I don't know. But Jay Lethal, Kevin Steen is the final, I guess, maybe?
Just looking at those brackets, you wonder. I mean, I don't see...
Or Mark Briscoe goes, you know, because his brother goes to the final.
That's very possible. The other guy is to keep an eye on is Carl Anderson. If they, you know, depending on how much they're going to use him over here and what they think they could use him. He's got a nice career going in Japan, though. So I don't know if he's going to, you know, want to screw with that. What kind of commitments he'd have to ROH in order to do so. But, yeah, I mean, Carl Anderson's pretty decent, so.
Anderson.
Yeah, he's the better Anderson for sure. So, I mean, that's it. That's kind of what's going on at ROH. The other news about ROH is that it may outlast TNA.
Yes. Yes, it just may. What do we got here? We got Doc, Luke Gallows. It's been cut.
Mm-hmm.
TNA no longer doing the Knox. He's been cut.
Has Knox been cut? I thought only Luke Gallows would be cut.
No, Knox as well.
Are you sure?
Nope.
No, seriously, are you sure?
Nope.
Okay.
I thought I heard that Knox was out, but maybe
no, it
not.
Was. I think it was a screw up. It was Doc. People thought it was Knox at first.
Okay.
But it was actually Doc the whole time.
It was other. Okay, maybe then. Okay, so Doc D'Lo anyway. Tara is gone, talking about the Performance Center,
mm-hmm.
and Bruce Pritchard,
mm-hmm.
Is out. And I guess the feeling is, and we talked a couple weeks ago about Sting sending feelers?
I think so. I think it was last week. Yeah. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was last week.
Sting sending feelers out. Well, I guess it's more than just Sting at this point.
Yeah. Essentially, a lot of people are feeling like this is not looking good. You have to understand that Bruce Pritchard was the role of who's the equivalent of in WWE. How would you put it for people? And he's in charge of, he was in charge of talent relations and something else, like marketing or something like that.
Yeah, like he was, that's what I was trying to think of. I mean, he almost had a, like a Triple H type role.
Well, that's the first guy I was going to say, and then I thought, well, no, but that is the guy. He was essentially doing what Triple H is doing right now. Like he was, you know, he, it's huge. Like this guy was, and they didn't say they're going to fire him. They were going to just lower him in the company.
Yeah, they're going to reassign him, and he said no
to a lower position. He said no, thank you. I don't know where he goes next. Probably nowhere in wrestling, but maybe he doesn't have to. But yeah, I mean, you're getting rid of the guy, and D'Lo's a big deal too. I mean, people may not think of it because they're just thinking, what, the guy who was an ace is an ace. No, this is the guy who was their only agent working on the road generally,
right?
Putting together matches and work with the guys. They don't have a guy doing that now.
I don't know if you want to be singled out as the guy that puts together the TNA matches.
Well, on the house shows, I think it's probably fine.
Yeah, probably because they don't have to do anything.
No,
If they have no agent and the guys have to call it and all they got to do is communicate their finishes with each other, that's okay, done. Earl can do that.
Fuck that. That is not as easy as you think.
D'Lo did it.
It is not nearly as easy as you think. Okay, so you're sitting there, and you have a match between Kurt Angle and let's just say Samoa Joe, and the finish is a double count out because neither one of them wants to lose. Okay, now the other guy comes in, and you have a match between Jeff Hardy and Bobby Roode, and it's a double count out because neither one of them wants to lose. And you now have to have that guy who's there saying, no, this is what you guys are going to do, and this is what you're going to do. And this is how we're going to work. You have to have that guy in that role. Otherwise, right. People will have either too many of the same finishes or people will disagree on who gets the finish they want to do. And that's an agent is originally created. I mean, it's a very important role.
Yeah. No, and that'll kill their house show business, right?
What was the joke going around? The joke going around backstage at Money in the Bank was Bob Van Dam performed in front of more people at his return match at Money in the Bank there in Philadelphia than he did his entire audiences he worked in front of for TNA combined.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And that's great that other people were saying it too. Like, it wasn't him who came up with it. It was a lot of people were making that joke and it was going around backstage.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. You're right. I mean, just from that perspective. But it's just the idea again that if you're getting rid of this guy, it's like you just start to wonder about the solvency of this company. And when we talk about guys who are putting out feelers and not just Sting, obviously it's guys who are contacting friends who are working for the company.
Yeah.
So there's obviously one name who's a major name in TNA, who has a friend in a major position in the WWE that's most intriguing, isn't there?
You're talking about Chris Sabin.
No. No, I wasn't.
Oh. But, I mean, you know what? And we talked about it last week, was, and you made the point.
Samoa Joe.
Everybody was, yeah, but there's a point that you made last week, was that, you know, everybody's a little bit older.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, okay, Samoa Joe can come in and neat.
Right? See, I don't think it's quite like that. I think it's Samoa Joe comes in, and if they use him right, he's got a couple years where he can be something still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So Samoa Joe comes in and neat.
No, it'd be great. Samoa Joe versus CM Punk for the championship at next year's SummerSlam.
You are right. It is going to be awesome. Samoa Joe and the Usos as the new six-man unit. That is going to be tremendous.
That's possible, too.
It's
very possible. But on the other hand, it could be. The idea is you could bring him in and, you know, I mean, I would love to see that. I mean, he's the intriguing guy. He's the guy who could come over, has enough size and ability, who... Because he's the guy that TNA, I mean, we said it many years ago. He was the guy who originally should have been their guy that they hung their hat on. He should have been their John Cena. And they never did it. And they fucked it up. So he's the guy with the most potential who, if he comes in there, now he doesn't have to carry a company. He doesn't have to be, you know, he can be part of the act.
He definitely doesn't hurt.
No.
But he's Perry Saturn. He's not Eddie Guerrero.
I disagree on that. I think he has tremendous potential. I think he can get over big WWE, but as big as a Daniel Bryan. I think
I'll mention Jim Ross's quote, "You don't pay the bills with potential."
No, you don't. You don't. And but the potential isn't really on him. He would do his part. It's on them, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're agreeing. I'm my feet are firmly placed on the ground in reality. And he'll have some great main event matches, and they'll think that he's getting over too much and squash him.
That's possible. I think they would
No, again, you keep saying possible. Probable.
Yeah, you're right. It is probable, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's also possible, not probable, but I think it's possible they would like him and that they would use him and that they would see a way that they can make money with him. I think he comes in, wins a bunch of matches, looks awesome to the crowd, gets over, and I think he's the only guy.
It's possible cotton candy comes out of my asshole, too. I mean, you know, so anything.
That is not possible. If it was, I'd be at your house right now.
In the meantime, and in between time, that's it.
like I say, it's you know, he is the intriguing guy, though. I mean, he's the guy that you go, he has a friend high up. I could see him and John Cena getting along great.
What do you mean? You could see him and John Cena? They train together.
Yeah.
They know each other. I mean, when you talk about, everybody's talking about, everybody's been pointing to Punk and Joe, Punk and Joe, Punk and Joe. I bet you Cena and Joe are equally as good friends.
As
Punk and Joe. I bet you Punk has probably stayed in touch, obviously, more with him. It's more recent. But, yeah, they know each other. I mean, Daniel Bryan, they know each other. Antonio Cesaro, they know each other. I mean, there's guys that Joe will know. He's not going to be stepping into a completely, he only knows Punk in the locker room kind of thing. He's going to fit in well. He's a veteran of the business and knows how to, you know, handle himself. He's not going to be like Seth Rollins and ruin his push by not shaking someone's hand.
Yeah, what a moron.
What a moron Seth Rollins is. Fuck. What a moron whoever came up with that stupid idea is.
That tradition?
Yeah, whatever the fuck.
Whatever, you just do it. Just do it. Just shake your hands.
And who cares if you don't?
Yeah, good point. But you just do it anyways. There's a lot of shit you do at work because you have to do it even though you know it's stupid.
Not really.
Okay, there's a lot of shit most people do at work to do it because they know it's stupid.
I understand that. I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he's the intriguing name. Other than him, I don't really see. The idea of, like we've already talked about Sting, the idea of Angle showing back up there. Their world champion, we'd already talked about their world champion, Bully Ray showing up. What? Is there something you'd like to announce?
Their world champion. We've already talked about it. Chris Sabin.
That's right. Okay. What happened at Destination X?
Chris Sabin won the title.
All right.
I guess there was a spot where, Bully, I mean, it was, again, an Aces and Eights main event mafia kind of around the ring deal. But Sabin, I guess it was Bully went for a powerbomb. Sabin hit Bully over the head with a hammer. And away you go. 1, 2, 3. Sabin wins the title. So, you know, here we are. We're talking about D'Lo and Doc. I mean, what becomes of Aces and Eights?
Well, I mean, D'Lo's been gone for a while, but I mean, I really can't get over the idea of Doc being gone. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, he was, up until last week, he was playing a major role within TNA. It looked like they had a storyline idea they were going to do with him.
With him and Ken Anderson, I guess.
Plus, I had heard that the company liked him a lot. Plus, he's fresh blood. He's still not that old, but he's been around for a while, and he's big.
Well, I think the fact the company liked him a lot and he's gone, again, that talks to your financial solvency.
It really does. That's as strong as anything else.
I mean,
it's one thing to get rid of Tara. I mean, let's face it, she's 40. 42 or 43.
She should be at the Performance Center with Sarah Del Rey.
Yeah, she really should be. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she lives down there, because they all do. And, yeah, I mean, that's her role.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But getting rid of a guy like this, it just seems very odd.
Well, but again, it's just a financial thing. Yeah. And you know, it's the
and who's,
same.
And who's surviving through all of this? Well, Pritchard is gone, and we're seeing all these young guys get cut, or guys like that, or, you know, the Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan and you know, Luke Gallows. Who's surviving? Two cockroaches.
Oh.
Who just keep on living off of the tit as long as they can. Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan.
Don't talk about Chavo and Hernandez that way. And it's pronounced cucarachas.
No, man, it's amazing to me. And Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff have done fuck all for that company.
Oh, I know.
And there they are still getting paid, right to the end.
Of course.
And we don't know that this is the end, but it's looking pretty bad.
Well, the thing is, I mean, again, you talk about the big thing that's killing him right now, again, going back on the road.
Yeah.
You know, is bleeding money. The pay-per-views, since they've gone to the first two, at least, because they've only had, they've only done this twice now, but the first two... you know, regular, now they've cut down to 4 pay-per-views, saw a modest increase in their buys, you know, say where they were getting 10,000, they're getting 12,000.
Yeah.
You know, so that's saving the money, but it's not making the money.
No.
You know, so they don't have any revenue sources outside of their TV. And so, you know, where you can't. They expanded their roster, and they expanded. They were trying to spend money to make money, and they didn't make money. So, you know, the nail with the board in it has come in and said, you know what? Now you're cutting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Janice will do, and that's fine. That's what it is. I mean, are they? You know, I think the rumors of their death will be greatly exaggerated, I think.
I think you're probably right, simply because, I mean, it looks bad. It looks really bad that you to lose a Pritchard and D'Lo and lose all this talent. And that said, as long as you get a 1.1, eventually you cut enough and you go back to a home base and cut down your TV expenses. As long as you can get that 1.1, throwing out Rude against Storm and getting rid of the more expensive talent.
Yeah,
there's no reason you shouldn't be able to survive.
No, because then you survive on your TV rights and your you cut back, you go back Impact Zone or whatever it is, wherever you find a place.
Yeah, it won't be there, but it'll be, you know.
No, but in an ECW arena or a TNA arena, or whatever you want to call it, right? That kind of thing. You find a home base, you tape out of your home base, and you know, you like you said, you get that 1.1. I mean, is losing a Bruce Pritchard going to be a big deal? Who knows? I mean,
well, it's not like he's done a spectacular job.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, someone else is going to be in that role. It's not like they've eliminated that role. Someone else has got to fill that role. Well, and soon. I mean, this is like, you know, having a, you know, like a treasurer, right, of a company.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I mean, you don't just go treasureless for a while, right?
Al Snow or something like that will end up in that.
Yeah, somebody step in. But D'Lo Brown gone, does that matter? No, you send Pat Kenny in and for half the cost, and there you go.
The same done. Cost.
Right? Then you get rid of him, and well, but it's still, if you have two guys that way, now you got half the cost, right? So I'm just saying, then you just expand somebody else's role, or as I said, you hire someone.
What kills them right now is if Spike TV ever said, we've thrown all this money into it and hasn't grown, and we're going in a different direction in our company, we're going to try and attract more female viewers or whatever, that's what kills them. As long as they're not going to do that.
Yeah, but that kills them with D'Lo Brown or without D'Lo Brown, with Bruce.
Yeah, exactly. As long as they're not going to do that, eventually they'll make enough cuts and figure this out and get off the road. And it won't be a super exciting product as far as it won't have grade A talent or grade A look or familiar names. But you know what? It'll be rustling. It'll be on every TV. And if the booking is good, it might be fun to watch. And that's kind of what we can hope for.
That's what I was going to say back in, like, before they killed the company the first time for years and brought in Russo. Mm-hmm. You know, Scott D'Amore was booking it.
And it was great.
And it was great, and they were getting at that point.
And who was your big name then? Rhino and Raven?
Yeah, I think Raven, Jeff Jarrett, Rhino. Yeah, and then you had, you know, your X divisions underneath, and then all of a sudden, like, Christian's coming in, and the Dudleys were coming in, but you had America's Most Wanted as well.
And the Naturals? Yeah. Fuck you. Don't you forget the Naturals.
Well, Naturals came after. Because remember, there was that time where they weren't even on TV, and that's when Samoa Joe was starting to get over.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And they weren't even, they were on, you had to watch it on the internet. You know, they had.
After they lost, what was it, Sportsnet that they were on or something like that?
Fox Sportsnet, yeah. Or whatever it was called. Yeah, or, yeah. So, but I mean, so, and they moved to Spike, but they're to TNN or whatever it was. But yeah, it's, that was their peak, you know, and as far as I'm concerned. So
as far as quality, as far as a quality product, under DeMore you had, it was a really good product to watch.
Yeah, that, and last summer was great as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like now, you said we talk about all these cuts. Well, you know, I don't know, it's probably just a one-shot Destination X thing, but of course Trent Barreto came in.
Yeah.
I don't see Trent Barreto costing that much since he was at both Calgary, you know, Heart Legacy shows. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, what do you think about Sabin as a champion? Is it just for a week or two and then they switch the belt back, or?
Who knows?
Is it just to keep that gimmick alive in case they ever want to do something with it down?
Well, the way I look at it now is Chris Sabin as the, you know, with the championship, keeping that gimmick alive is a lot like CM Punk's first WWF title or world title.
Keeping this Money in the Bank alive.
We're keeping the Money in the Bank alive.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, they gave it to him.
That's how I see it, too.
So they've kept the gimmick alive for another year. They've made a new X Division title that I think was like garbage. But it looks like, you know, when The Rock, the Intercontinental title that The Rock had?
No, I don't remember.
And Ken Shamrock and all that from the 90s. Not the Honky Tonk Man's belt or the belt that they have now, rather, but when they changed it, it looks like that with an X in it. An X breaking up that. So it's, I don't know, whatever. But it's too cute, this X Division title. It's kind of jumping on the back of this. We got to make these belts look neat. But,
yeah.
But they, anyway, they unveiled that, and they're going to have, they had nine guys, I guess, vying for the X Division, new X Division championship, which had a lot of good, so that was another thing about last summer that was a lot of good quality matches, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, and they're all three ways now, of course. So you had Homicide against Petey Williams against Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, so it's, you had three guys who aren't actually under contract who were in for one shots.
Yeah, I mean, and then you had, you know, that, what's his name, Manic, not Suicide, against Chavo, against Kenny King, in another three way, and then you had Trent Barreta against Rubix, like he was back, Jigsaw back as Rubix, who I really liked last year.
Yeah, I liked Rubix, and the crowd liked him too.
Yeah, and Rockstar Spud. You know,
interesting. Well, one of the things about this though is I just got to say, Manic, why did you put him back under that outfit when you lifted off the mask and everybody's seeing him? It's kind of stupid, isn't it?
Yeah. Not kind of.
TJ Perkins, everybody's already seen that's who it is. You know, I don't know. I guess people will forget eventually. People forgot about the Underbiker and started to remember the Undertaker. So, but.
Yeah, and again, it really doesn't matter.
No, I know.
You know, it's but Manic is your new X Division champion, beating Trent Barreta and Sanjay Dutt in an Ultimate X match that'll air next week. So, you know, neat. You know, again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's. Yeah, I mean. I think it's next. The following week was going to be Chris Sabin against Manic in a one-on-one match. Not title for title, but just champion versus champion.
Interesting. Okay.
So
Sabin will have the belt longer than 1 week.
I guess so. And again, with no pay-per-views, it's like, whatever.
It could be that you're right. Aces, if they're losing Doc, maybe it's time that they're going to break up Aces and Eights. And they're still going to have Bully. I mean, are they still leading to a Bully Ray Hulk Hogan match? Everything appears that way. Again, like I say, but if you're cutting costs, Hogan, Sting, Angle, Bischoff, Hogan's daughter, who leads to nothing, they got to be the next to go. Like those people, if you're talking about cutting costs that would actually make significant, they mean a lot more than Tara and Joey Ryan and, you know, Joey Matthews and.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I mean exactly, and Luke but Dallas. I mean, but again, Hogan keeps renewing every year, right?
Yeah, well, they need to eventually.
Well, that's
the
thing.
They need to cut that string. They need to, you know.
Well, sure, but will they?
So maybe this is what does it. If the board with the nail is saying that, you know what, it's time to do this, it's time to cut those costs. Maybe eventually they have to go, fuck, that's the guy we have to cut. We don't want to, but we have to. And you have to make a decision. Anytime you're in business, you have to make a decision. Is the investment you're putting in equivalent to the return you're getting out? For a while, they could say so because they believe it created interest, not just in, visibility, not just in on TV, but they thought, you know, and just to talking to sponsors and getting sponsorships and just, you know, media relations.
Yeah.
You were much more likely to get media relations with people if you could say Hulk Hogan is coming. So, I mean, there's a point where they could actually could justify it for a little while, despite not moving the ratings or, you know, to triple brother. Like they expected and everything. But at some point in time, you have to go, okay, is that still the case? And I mean, I think they've already crossed that bridge probably 1 or 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, okay, there you go. Pritchard was Senior Vice President of Programming and Talent Relations.
Yeah.
So scouting, development, as well as the creative direction of the company.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it, is that they're going with a new, just a new, they're doing basically getting a new head of creative.
Yeah.
Is what they're getting.
Yeah.
So
again, just does any part of you think that they're bringing back Russo?
I was just about to say, if I can be honest with
you. Like when you hear that, isn't that the fear?
I read this on the internet and I called my friend Dixie and said, I will come in and do it for
free.
She
loves him. She really believes he's the greatest wrestling writer of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could definitely, I mean, if he's got enough money and he wants to come in, I mean, who knows? But again, you spend time away in that role and you don't tend to come back. Right?
Well.
So who knows? Nothing is.
God, that's just the biggest fear. If that happens, then I'll never watch them again. Seriously, that'll be it.
I honestly, at this with no, say, inside knowledge, no, I haven't heard one way or another. But yeah, I'd put it at this point, just my own gut feeling is it's like 50%. I would say there's a 50-50 chance of that happening, which is a kind of a cop out because that's saying yes or no. But it's less of a cop out when I say, you know, that it's. I can't say that there's no chance.
Well, I mean, I think there's a very little chance at the end of the day because Bischoff and Hogan are still there. So because of that, I don't think it's likely.
But if everything's leading to what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean? If everything leads to cutting the ties, then yeah, I mean, you know.
It's possible. I mean, I'd rather see, what's his name that used to be with ROH there, that's there and working creative now.
Oh, Gabe Sapolsky, you mean?
No. Currently working with TNA. Who's the guy? Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't with ROH. Who was it? Who's?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. But
man,
is it? No. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. It's what's his fuck?
not Kurt
Dave
Bauer.
Dave Lagana.
Dave Lagana. Thank you. Yeah. Dave Lagana. There you go. Hopefully he becomes Sergeant Creative completely.
Sure.
I'd be okay with that. Just do that and don't bring a Russo. Please don't bring a Russo.
Oh, God, no. That's, I mean, Yeah, and but again, unfortunately, I can't.
You can't 100% discount it because we're talking about Dixie Carter.
Like I said, I can't 50% rule it out. I said I would put it at that, you know. Yeah, it's flip a coin to me at this point.
We're talking about Dixie Carter. She's different.
And the nail with the board is, you know, again, it doesn't know anything. It's like, well, we can get this guy cheap. We can get this guy's going to give us a deal. We paid Pritchard, let's say, $100,000 a year. This guy will come and do it for $50,000.
Yep.
And that's all that, because it doesn't matter who it is at this point. Like, to Janice, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be you or I.
Yeah.
But it's about, we're not a person at this point. We're a salary. So it's, you know, yes, is he competent? Is he capable? Yes. Is he making $40,000? Yes, he's hired.
I will do it for $34,000 a year. I'm putting it out there right now.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. So, but that's what...
That's no, I'm what serious. Janice,
Janice,
after you guys listen, because we know WWE people listen to this show. We don't really know if TNA people do, but if somebody is, I'll do it for
34,000. I will do it for three times that.
Okay. I'll do it for 34. Because it means I wouldn't have to talk to you anymore. That right there that's is true. Worth at least another $50,000.
See, that's true. That's true. But it does mean you have to talk to Eric Bischoff.
True. But you know what? I just walk in and say, next thing we're going to do is make your son the world champion.
You know what I would say is everybody over 45... I'll cut your fucking legs off.
Well, now we know you aren't getting the job. God,
that's right.
Would it have made any difference if, what was it? Was it 3 years ago? 2 years ago? That their negotiations with Heyman were hot and heavy and it looked like there was a legitimate chance. Would it have made any difference now if he had come in? Or?
Well, the show would probably be better, but no. Because what are we talking about TNA even now? Is that we're not talking about their match quality or even their booking direction at this point. We're talking about money. So would Paul Heyman help the financial situation? Hell no. There was a company called ECW.
Well, he was not good with the money there. That said, he could get a couple thousand people to go to a house show. They can't get more than a couple hundred now. So...
I don't know about that. I don't think their problem is money. And Heyman wouldn't help that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Now if Jim Ross, who was the other guy that they were courting that came close to, if he had gotten that position, what, 3-4 years ago? How about that?
It's possible. It's possible. Only because they would be developing guys at this point, and 3-4 years ago they would have been at that point where these guys are coming and they're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's where Heyman may have helped too, is because you're not, your grizzled veterans, you know, with Heyman booking would have been Joe and AJ and Rude.
Yeah.
Right.
More of a chance to be presented as stars because they weren't presented as mid-carders for so long and they could have gone a little better in the ring. They were a little less beat up, a little younger.
Yeah. And the problem we talked about last week, where there are no new young guys in TNA, that wouldn't exist with either Ross or Heyman in 3 years ago. They would have developed that and had that. There would be those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's a shame because when we talked about that last week, and then I went and I looked back at what we talked about when they were really good last year, is like I'm even thinking about guys like Dakota Darso.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned Rubik's, you know, Jigsaw. You know, and all these guys that they had that seemed like, you know, they could be fresh young the next kind of guys to be in your mid card now, but then stick around and get up, they just vanished. And almost all together.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, and here we are.
Yeah.
And again, the guys are cutting here. I mean, you know, Bruce and Deal. I mean, Doc is the exception there. The young guy, right?
Yeah, well, I suppose. I mean, well,
Well, compared to the others, at least. I mean, he's not a young guy, but he's not an old guy either.
No, he's not an old guy. No, I mean, Joey Ryan isn't an old guy. I guess he's been around for a long time.
Yeah, Christian York.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've been around a long time.
Christian York, yeah. But I mean, I said Joey Ryan, not Joey Matthews.
No, I'm just saying both. Yeah. I mean, I'm just sort of the guys that have been cut. Yeah, Joey Ryan, I mean, not, but, you know, I don't know.
There's something to be said, though, for a guy who's still a fresh face on the national scene, or to your audience, who's a young veteran, who's, like, been in the business 10 years, but he's still in his early 30s. I mean, that's what Daniel Bryan is, for fuck's sakes.
Now, does Gallows come back to WWE? Did they take him back? Does he come back?
I don't know about that. I mean, he's good friends with Punk. Again, that helps. I do know this. As soon as I heard that he was cut, my first reaction was, this is an angle. He's not cut. He's going to stay with TNA. This is an angle to break up the Aces and Eights, because he didn't get to be the vice president in the vote and ended up with Anderson. Like, that's right. That was my first thought. And I still am not 100% sure that that's not true.
I would think that it probably is. But, I mean, his contract's up, and that's the thing. I mean, they did the same thing with Matt Morgan, and then it wasn't gone, and then he's gone. So, I mean, it's... Is he back and it's inevitable? I mean, who knows? But, I mean, the thing I look at is I would have him back in WWE immediately, plug him in with Punk, right? I mean, you think about...
Well, I mean, I would consider putting him in with the Wyatt family.
See, there you go. That's actually perfect with Festus, right?
I would add him, and I would add Morgan in a second into the Wyatt family. I mean, that would be one intimidating group.
It would. It really would.
The smallest guy is like 6'8".
Yeah. Yeah. I would. I mean, do you give him with Heyman, right? And then you've got the Doc and Brock connection.
That's money. If I ever heard of money.
See? There's your show title for you. The Birth of the Doc and Brock Connection.
Could be. All right, well, I think it's not as long a show as we usually do, but we still got an hour here, and, you know, it's getting kind of late because of how our day went here. So anything else you want to say here, or are we going to go OUT?
Boobs.
And on that note, anything else you want to say?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think, again,
any
we're going to
have plugs you want to do?
Your mother. But I think TNA, it's going to be really, really, I think this is a story that will be playing out over months, really. And so it's just going to be interesting to gauge and see how this goes, because there's some, you know, repercussions that can be felt WWE way as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we talk about, does WWE buy them? You know, well, you know, maybe. Maybe, again, just for the library, is that what they buy? Is it they fold and they buy, you know, the library? And you know, and then at least the, you know, the Carters will recoup some of this money, right? Because, you know, that's really all that they're going to be valued. They can't have a TV show. But that's another, you know, maybe not a next week kind of possibility, but, you know, as this year comes to an end.
This is going to be an interesting finish to the 2013. I mean, we don't know anything. Right now, it's just a shitload of speculation. And not just by us, but also by, I mean, some of the biggest insiders within the industry are trying to figure this shit out and speculating like crazy. So there's a lot of that going on. That said, there's no question that we could have the answers before the end of the year.
Yeah, but I think, again, we talked about my sort of prediction, a lot of smoke to the fire, but I think there's going to be a lot of talent that's going to be made available. And I think it's kind of may end up being the end of the year might sort of spell the retraction of TNA, I guess, right? Not the death, but just the, you know, they're just going to, you know, cut
if
some costs.
If there is, do you want to do the rise and fall of ECW? The death of TNA. Do you want to do it? Do you want to write that book with me?
The death of TNA. Yeah.
Write it with me? Nobody else is going to do it.
That's true. That's true. We could do that.
All right, I'm in.
So SummerSlam is going to take shape, and they said we've got the two matches that are going to that they're going to ride with, and everything else is going to be filler.
They're the two matches they're going to ride with, one of which will draw.
That's true. Yes, it will. But I think that, you know, we'll see how it goes. As I said, we've got a month now until I think exactly a month today as we talk. This is SummerSlam, so they have lots of time to do whatever it is that they're going to do, and we'll wait and see. But this is going to be SummerSlam will kick off, maybe be a good show, and then we're to that low point. So, am I getting excited for the future of WWE? No, because it's not the beginning of January yet.
No, that's true. That said, if they actually do put that belt and he wins clean on John Cena, if Daniel Bryan does get that title, that'll definitely give me some interest for those what are normally those kind of lulled months. To see the Daniel Bryan WWE, that would be something that would actually have me, interested. So let's hope for that. Skeptical, but I'm hopeful.
I'm not so skeptical of that. I just, what I'm really looking forward to is a Night of Champions in September when Daniel Bryan takes the pedigree.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. On that note, do you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to go.
Oh, okay. We'll end it on Daniel Bryan taking a pedigree. Excellent. All right. So, yeah, that's going to do it. Then we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. We are also, you can find us facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You can like the page there. Stitcher is a great way to get all the shows on your mobile device. And you can do it to iTunes, of course. We're there. And WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. And then Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.com. We're in a bridge show, as we said, but there are some mailbag questions that we gotta jump into.
We'll have some, more, a longer show, I'm sure, coming up here, and with maybe a little more energy, just like it's been not a normal day for us, so.
No, it's been a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do it then. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Fuck Russo.